Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Before I get started, I need to say some thank yous. Gateway Family, you have heard my name. You have not left this building. So that means you are here, not just for me, but for God. Thank you to my family and my friends, guys from my small group, far and near. Thank you, because you know me, and yet you're here. Thank you to my wife, who is also my study bunny. Thank you for putting up with some of these long hours, staying up with me and giving me suggestions and going to sleep on me at times. Thank you to my brother, Pastor Gabriel, who since day one, and as a matter of fact, let me tell you this story. Jonathan told his story about how he met Pastor Gabriel, so I get to tell my story. We're at the, another church. His dad has been pastoring, and he comes and does a message, and he talks about airsoft, you know, plinking these little air pellets, and it interested me. And I was like, babe, that sounds cool. She said, well, why don't you go ask him questions? I said, huh? At that time, I was going through, like, this whole friendship thing. I wasn't really a good friend and all that stuff. And so going to somebody I don't know, asking questions. So I built up enough to talk to him after serving. He just happened to walk down my aisle. So I go up to him, and he goes, huh? You know, big black guy. That time I was like mid heavy wheel. Now I'm kind of almost slim wheel now. I think he said that he thought that I was going to pick him up and put him in my pocket. No, I just wanted to ask a question. And so I started talking to him, and he said, yeah, let's talk about it. So, you know, we have cell phones, and you usually give out phone numbers, and, you know, he gave me his email address. And I didn't know how to take that. And I was like, is this like a turn down? And this is like the nice way to do it. I don't know. And so I got it. And I emailed him. He actually emailed me back. A couple weeks later, I think the last time he preached, he said the only way he could communicate with Perry, his wife, was through email. Then it dawned on me, he really loved me, even though he didn't know me, because he chose to give me his email address. Because that's the same way he communicated with Perry. So I feel very, very special. That's my story. He's not here. I'm sticking with it. So, thank you all for that bit. Now, I have to get myself out the way and thank God for what he's doing in my life and my family's life. And so, even though you're here to see me, what I really want to say is that we are here together to hear what God has to say. So, what better way to start off a message and talk about my family? So, if you would, pull up that picture. This is a picture, and I will go ahead and tell you, instead of asking you what you think it is, it's a Lego ant. Yes, it's all in different colors. There's no directions for an ant Lego. Guess who needed a project for school? My oldest. Guess what grade he was in? Kindergarten. Yes! They do projects in kindergarten. It was insect week. And so he was like, Mom, Dad, it's insect week, and we got a project, and you can only use the things that are at home. I was like, okay, so what do we have at home? We have Legos. Lots and lots of Legos. And so I'm going online, going on YouTube, because you can find everything on YouTube and online, except how to build a Lego ant. So, me and my son had to come together to make this, and it was only by God that we got to that point. He didn't get an A. He got what they call it, an E, or excellent, whatever they do in kindergarten now. But he did good. He got such good reviews from it. I'm proud of him, because he was like, Dad, I like it. He liked it so much he wanted to play with it. I said, no. This has to go to school. Not taking a chance. So this whole thing about teamwork. And so I'm going to, like, flip it on you and do it like this. I want to talk about King Saul. King Saul is, I want to say, in the Bible, had one of the shortest times in the Bible because of how he wanted to live. And I want to start it off with this verse of scripture. 1 Samuel 19:10 says, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. That night, David made good his escape. That's not a good way to start off team, am I right? As a matter of fact, Saul was at a point where he was really by himself. He just threw a spear at one of his, we could say, friend. This was the third time this happened. And David escaped all three times. I don't know about you, but if I'm David, the first time, that's fun. Hey, yeah, you know, that's cool. We throwing spears now, but where's mine? Second time, I don't know if you like me. All I know, like some months ago, I tried on your clothes. They didn't fit. We laughed about it, but you said I can go and fight. The third time, okay, look, I don't know about you, but I feel some kind of way. I don't wear earrings, but I'm going to act like I got earrings. I'm taking off my sandals. We about to bust knuckles. Because I feel like you're trying to tell me something, but you ain't telling me nothing. What we going to do? David didn't know what was going on in Saul's mind, but Saul did. Saul was so pent up with anger at David because David had something that he didn't have. That was the presence of God. Something that he could have kept. He could have had. But yet, he wanted to throw spears. Spears of condemnation. Spears of fear. Spears of pent up hurt. All because of choices that he made. And I want to ask you, how often do we throw spears at people? Because of what we are going through in life. We're Christians. We're not perfect. We're saying we're choosing to follow after God. But yet there are times where we don't talk to people. We don't let people know how we're doing. When people say, hey, how you doing? What's the number one answer? Good, I'm fine. But in deep down inside, when we go home, we know what we deal with. But yet when we're out and about, we do throw spears every now and then because we can't hold that in. We can't keep that frustration in it all the time. No. Every once in a while, it's going to be, whoo! And then people are like, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Like Pastor Gabriel said, I'm eating my cereal. But those spears are only symptoms of what's really going on inside. It's just like when we get sick. We have symptoms, but there's only one main thing that's going on. When you have a cold, what's going on? You got runny nose, sneezing, coughing. All of those things are just part of you having a cold. Saul had these symptoms showing and didn't know how to deal with it. So I want to talk about, not now, but I do want to talk about how do we have a cure? How do we get a cure? Where's that cure? See, with Saul, when he became king, it was because the people of Israel wanted a king. The people no longer really wanted to have this relationship with God that they had. They wanted to be like everybody else. So God chose Saul. At the time, Saul was good. But Saul had flaws. And God showed this to me one time while I was reading, because I'm doing the one-year Bible thing in chronological. I just realized in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all were the God of, the saying is, he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, he's the God of Jacob. But with Saul, he was just Saul. Even David had a saying, not him saying it, but we say David was a man after God's own heart. But Saul was Saul. And Saul didn't know how to deal with Saul. Saul had a crutch. That crutch was Samuel. Samuel was the prophet during that time. And whenever Saul needed help, whenever Saul needed God, he never went to God himself. He went to Samuel. And so, and this is all before the whole account of throwing spears. So, how did Saul get to that place? He got to that place through being impatient and disobedient. And even some of the words he said. And if you'll go to 1 Samuel 15 and 15. Listen to the words that Saul said. Saul answered the soldiers, brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Now, prior to this verse, God told Saul through Samuel, wipe out the Amalekites. But the people, all the people, say, hey, they got all this good stuff. Let's take the stuff to the house. Saul listened to the people. Get back. Samuel sees all this stuff. They even brought back the king. Samuel's upset. And this is what he says. Can you pick out what he said? This part right here. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. Saul said, your God. Samuel, that's your God. Right then and there, Saul, for me, made an unconscious, but even a conscious choice to say that he's the God of Israel, but he's not my God. He's your God. And I'm doing this for your God. See, when you have teamwork, it's me and you, buddy. It's no, hey, Liz, I need my brother. Can I see him? I can go to my brother myself and talk to him. David was able to talk to God himself, even though he had priests and everybody else. But Saul felt like, this is my spot. God gave it to me. But yet, I don't have to recognize God for myself. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm learning that I can't do nothing without God. I'm here on this stage only because of God. Talking for me comes easy, especially in front of a crowd. I have no problem with it. Thank you, sis. But what I do have a problem with is, even though this is easy for me, this is also a weakness. Because I get to hide stuff if I want to. I get to put up a front, get to put up this picture of perfectness up here, which I'm far from it, and I don't mind telling it because I want to tell how good God is. And so it's my choice, just like Saul, to be like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for God and do it because I know him for myself. Not because my wife, who is super spiritual, who I can just go to and be like, can you pray for me? I can ask her to pray with me. So where's the teamwork for Saul? Even later on, Saul got to a point that the person that was closest to him, his son, he disrupted that relationship. See, if we can't have relationship with God and that work, all our other relationships really amount to nothing. Because we're steadily trying to take instead of give. And so Saul was constantly asking, taking, even to the point that he got so far off, he can't even ask forgiveness for himself. And this wasn't the only time he said it. He said it a second time. In the 21st verse, the soldiers took sheep. He re-explains himself. He's really trying to point to, hey, we did all this and we did it for your God. Your God. I really want to please you through God. See, my prayer this morning wasn't for people to see me. Because I'm going to be up front. I'm insecure. I'm semi-slim wheel. I want to be a little bit slimmer. I have names for the different stages of my life. I got fat kid wheel, heavy wheel, young skinny wheel. There's my other wheel. Because my insecurities are not going to make me. And I don't have to hide them. Now, am I my best yet? Am I my best? No. But with God's help, I plan on getting there. Now, what I don't want to do is get to this point. That third and final one where he says, you're God. And that was the 30th verse. 30th verse reads, Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. See, at this point, he realizes what he did. And when he wants to ask for forgiveness, it's a plea to Samuel to show off that, hey, you're still with me. And when we go worship God, is really your God. See, I don't know if you understand that the words that come out of our mouth are so powerful. And it's not even scripture. Me talking about myself can easily tear me down. Now, I'm going to be real transparent with you. I almost didn't want to share this story because it was a very mean part of my life. Second grade. Now, words I have no problem with. I thank God for my dictionary that he has given me, made up words. I think my son picked up that, making up words. But back when I was in second grade or elementary, we used to crack on people. If you don't know what cracking on people means, okay, easiest way I can explain it, you talk about people in a bad way and you make it sound funny. I was all right. Okay, I was good at it. I was so good at it, people would stop after they had said their second thing. And this is before you got to the point where you made somebody so mad, then they start saying, well, yo mama. And when you say yo mama, then that's when it's time to fight. So we made this in second grade. And it was this girl that I liked. And the only way I knew how to impress people was to crack on people. The bad thing is I cracked on her. Not a good move. I was so good at it, she cried. And shattered whatever hopes I had on, you know, getting to know her better. So the words that came out of my mouth, even though I meant well or meant good, even to impress, it tore her down. And I want to say more than a decade later, I saw her one day. And it wasn't the best version of her. I had to ask God, the words that I speak to her at that time, did that mess her up? I don't know. I don't know what other things she had on her life. But at that time, as I was older and I saw her, I realized how important the words that came out of my mouth. You know, verse of scripture says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. It's so easy to say whatever comes to my mind, comes to our mind, that we say it and we walk off and don't know. My kids, I love them. Ooh, I love them. God knows I love them. The oldest one, perfect blend of me and his mama. Because he has his mom's, you know, what's that word? She's very competitive. And he has my mouth. And so sometimes he just talks. I'm like, Jeremiah, it's time to be quiet. Well, Dad, you can be quiet too. And I'm like, boy, ooh, I'm driving and you better be glad. Or, Dad, can I get the iPad? No. But Dad, you're on your phone. I was like, I don't care how smart you are and how smart your tongue is. I will punch you in your chest. But at the same time, I have to understand that what I'm doing and what I say, even though he's a spawn from us, he's from God. And so we have to teach him. I got to teach him early because I don't want him to get to that age and he just start talking, because then I have to take his life and ask God for another one. And then at that point, if I'm asking for another one, I'm like, God, I'm all right. We good. We good, right, at two? We good. Me and my wife, we've already agreed. Don't ask us for no more babies. I don't care how much y'all say. They so cute. Y'all got some cute babies. We done. That is not teamwork. That is just y'all just trying to add more on us. No. But in saying that, the biggest teamwork is between us and God. Because when we team up with God, we have his presence. And God gave me this illustration. We know we have space, outer space, sun, all planets moving around. The atmosphere. Just like in outer space, there are things that come in and come out of the atmosphere. Some things we don't want, like meteors, because, you know, they say they took out the dinosaurs. And I really don't feel like meteors coming to Earth taking us out, because then it'd be like Will Smith and I Am Legend, and I really don't want to live that life. But what God shared with me, we ask God too many times to bless what we're doing, and we don't know if what we're doing is what God wants us to do. Because what will end up happening, when we do stuff by ourselves, we end up by ourselves. And without God, and sometimes without friends. And that's what happened with Saul. He wanted to do things. There was a time where they were getting ready for war, and Saul is waiting on Samuel because Samuel was supposed to give a sacrifice for Israel before they go off to war. So many days pass, Saul becomes weary and becomes fearful because the people saying, hey, it's time. We need to get at this. Saul goes ahead, does a sacrifice. Not until he got done. He got done with it. Samuel comes. Dude, really? You couldn't wait? See, his impatience brought about disobedience. And so many times it was like, God, I need this. I got this going on. God is already working on our behalf, and sometimes your timing is not just his timing. So once again, Saul makes a choice that wasn't a team choice, one led by God. We get instructions so many times, whether it's from work. I don't know about you, but I get instructions from God. And it's on me to be obedient unto what's supposed to be going on. I actually have my boss here for the job I work for, which I'm so thankful to God for. And you would think it'd be easy working for somebody you know. No, it's a huge amount of pressure, especially when you go to church. Because guess what? Not only does he get to see me here, he gets to see me there. So I can't be church Will on Sunday and just wheel on Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday. But that's teamwork, because now I have somebody to help me to be accountable. Somebody to be like, hey, Will, I see you not performing or not being who I believe God wants you to be. See, that's how the relationship between Saul and Samuel was supposed to be. But Saul would know that if he had a true relationship with God. And when we don't have that relationship with God, we start throwing those spears, having those symptoms. So now, we didn't talk all about these symptoms and how Saul got to that point. What about a cure? Can we talk about a cure? I'm not going to be here long, I promise you. I don't want to be that long-winded. I really have one point, really two. And verse of scripture I have is Proverbs 14 and 12. There's a way that is, no, that's not it. That's actually, okay, I skipped something. I apologize. That's actually a part of Saul. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. There's another version that says there's a way that appears right to man. I can have all the good intentions in the world. That's what I was supposed to be plugged at, yeah. When I talked about, you know, I had every intention of trying to make this girl proud and, you know, be like, hey, I'm that cool, I'm that guy, but I messed it up. I thought I was doing good. I thought I was doing right. But it actually brought about something else, a tearing down of somebody. So now, Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That sixth verse, in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. With all this technology and with all this knowledge that we get to receive, it's so easy to have the word of God watered down to a place to where everything can be applied to make everybody feel good. But can I tell you this? If we can trust in God and not on what we think is best, the path becomes a whole lot easier to walk through. And for Saul, he got messed up. He got messed up real bad. He got messed up so bad that when it came time to really ask for forgiveness, Saul turned to Samuel and he ripped Samuel's robe. He ripped his robe. Now, Samuel, being the sharp dresser that he is and pays high dollar for his clothing, got upset. But it wasn't that he was upset that he tore his robe. He got upset because he saw Saul's heart and that everything that was in Saul's heart wasn't really what God wanted. But can I tell you of somebody else who not tore a robe, but touched a robe? One with the issue of blood and her sickness. She had a point to get to God. Not God, I'm sorry, Jesus. She gets to him. She touched him. She's healed. The biggest thing wasn't her healing. The biggest thing was that when Jesus found her, he called her daughter. Jesus could have very easily gotten upset because he got touched and power left him. But yet, he saw her faith. He saw her heart. Her heart brought about relationship between her and Jesus and the opportunity for her to have a relationship with God. For Saul, the tearing of Samuel's robe brought about the destruction of him having an offspring to continue being king. Samuel turned around and saw and said, just like you tore my robe, God is going to tear the kingdom away from your line. So this cure, trusting in God with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. It sounds easy. It can be easy and it can be hard. But it's a choice that we all have to make every day. And it's more about glorifying God and not being king. God's told me this. There's so many of us, we carry so many titles, whether it's father, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, uncle, supervisor, employee. None of those titles have power unless we have the presence of God. Because we can all just go through the motion under those titles. But who are we benefiting, ourselves or God? I know the band is getting ready to come up on stage, and I'm actually getting ready to close, to be surprised. God's desire for us is to be a team through him and through each other. And if you would, bring that picture back up, because I get to tell the other side of the story. So that project took I don't know how many hours. What happened in the process of that project is my frustration and my son's frustration, because he had a vision, I had a vision. And not only that, he wanted to just play Legos. But what I had to do is put aside how I felt, have a teaching moment with my son, and say, let's get this done. That's all God wants to do, is get this done. Get what's done in your life, which can take all of your life. To get things done in you to help people outside these walls. Because see, inside these walls is great. We get to have celebration here every Sunday. And I thank God for it. A celebration takes work to get to that point. And that work is being led by God and touching the lives of others. So, as you stand and we get ready for this altar call, and also prayer team, you can come up here at this time as well. To our prayer team, I thank God for y'all. This altar call, I'm going to include myself. For the many times I've been disobedient, or we've been disobedient. But you know the difference between us and Saul? We know we can go directly to God. And I pray that through this message, that if you don't know God for yourself, this is the perfect time to start that relationship. Because that's what God wants. He wants our hearts, and he wants to use us. Now, I thank God for this opportunity to be on this platform. But this platform really doesn't matter if I don't do what God tells me to do outside. That's actually a verse that hit me hard from a song of this gospel rap group. This guy said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to mess up trying to do it for real. He said, if I can't reach people in public, how can I reach people on a platform? because people get to see us for real. Sometimes I bump into people, you know, family, in stores or at the park or whatever. Sam's a lot of time. Sam's is almost a small group. I'm going to be honest with you. It is. Just bump into people. You walk down aisles together, then you go somewhere else. When we have small groups again, don't become isolated and try to do it by yourself. I actually enjoy small group because it gives me an outlet sometimes. But it also gives me an opportunity to listen, to see how somebody else does something better. God actually worked it out that way. When God made Adam, he said it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he made Eve. David actually had Jonathan. Jesus had 12 dudes with him. So when you leave out here, know you're not alone. Actually, we're more than a team. We're family. We fight sometimes, but we still come back together and love on each other.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc. Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.